I'm going to share with you guys, we are moving into a new series, but it's really neat because it really kind of goes hand in hand with our previous series, Building the Kingdom. So we're calling this one Christmas Dreams. I'm so used to looking right here. I'm looking over here. Christmas Dreams. And we're getting our projector worked on. We should get it back in about 3 or 4 weeks. So with this series, we're now shifting from Joseph of the Old Testament in Genesis, and now we're shifting to Joseph in the New Testament and looking at the similarities in their lives. And so Joseph in the New Testament has four dreams. Everybody say four dreams. Four dreams. You're tracking with me. And so similar to our Joseph in the Old Testament, we have this dreamer. But I believe there's even more connections than that. So it's not just the aspect of, okay, he dreamed and so did Joseph and isn't that great. There's more to it than that. And Joseph, in the midst of his dreams, he not only has dreams, but also Mary has dreams. And so you're like, Pastor John, is it too early for Christmas? The answer is no way. It is not too early for Christmas. Right? And so you guys can see I'm wearing my Christmas sweater, bears with Christmas hats. I'm sure there's many out there, right? You just look around for those bears with Christmas hats. You're like, where can I buy that sweater? No, I'm talking about just being silly. But so when we're looking at Joseph and we're looking at his life, we see that, again, Joseph had a dream. But before we look at that, let's look at the context here. And Natalie and I'm thinking about marriage, right? And I'm thinking about here in the text, what's the context of the dream? Well, the context of the dream is that Joseph and Mary are going to be married, right? And we know that in that day, that women actually married pretty young. So Mary could have been anywhere between 13 and 16 years old. Imagine sending your daughter off, or your son. Now, the son would usually be older because he has a job, and he's providing for the family and all of this. But imagine just sending your 13-year-old daughter to go get married, right? Just picture that. I mean, it's kind of hard to picture, but in that culture is what went on. And so, you know, when we look at this and we look at Joseph, he's getting ready to get married. And so in the midst of this, he finds out, right, that she's prego, right? She's pregnant. And so that's shocking to him, right? This is probably not the first time it's ever happened in Israel, right? And so she's pretty well along, too, because she's been spending time with Elizabeth, and because John the Baptist is going to be born and all of that. And so Joseph, he doesn't have to be a rocket scientist to get like, wait a second, where do babies come from? Okay, he's not asking this question as he's getting ready to be a married man, okay? He understands. And so Joseph, it says that he was getting ready to divorce her quietly. Now, how the Jewish culture works is our engagement is their marriage. So he says, I'm going to be engaged to you, equal marriage, okay? And so that happened before Mary had this visitation with the angel. And then the actual pronouncement and he taking her into his home is like our wedding, okay? So even though it says he was, in some words, is pledged to be married, but we can understand that that time was a time where they were fiancés, if you will, as we use de French in our culture, okay? And so, again, when we look at Joseph and Mary's marriage, first, it almost never happened, right? And Joseph is thinking, I'm going to, if he publicly, and we hear this all throughout Christmas series, right, that if Joseph went public with this, Mary could have gotten stoned, right? And so he decides to dismiss her quietly. He decides to end the potential marriage, like they were fiancés, if you will, and he was going to end it before the marriage took place. And so so all this is transpiring, right? And then we need to know the backstory, too, that Mary had, she didn't have a dream, but she, too, had an encounter with an angel, Gabriel. And we find this encounter in Luke 1, 26 to 33. And it says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." All right? And so, again here, it goes on where he describes that she will be a virgin, and again, even though she's not been with any man, she's going to have a baby. And so she asks him to explain some of this, and all of this is highly important. But there's a really important information here that we can gloss over when we've heard the Christmas story frequently. How many times have you heard, like, maybe your grandpa tell the same story 50 times? And so instead of, like, really listening to the details, you're like, "Oh, grandpa, you're going to tell that story again." And it just kind of glosses over. Don't do that with our Christmas series, please. And then second, like, don't do that with all over the Christmas text, because there's so much that we can pull out and understand, right? Not only was God intricately picking Mary, which we focus on that very much in the Christmas story, but God was choosing Joseph as well. He was choosing Joseph as well. And part of that was that Joseph was in the lineage traced to David, right? He was called a son of David. Now, the only person that will also be called son of David in the New Testament is Jesus. And so Joseph is called Joseph, son of David. Now, he's not a really old son of David. Like, he's like 300 years old. He is in the line of David, and that's why he's called son of David. And so, again, with that, Joseph's taking Mary as his wife. Jesus would then be in the lineage of David. Again, this marriage was God-ordained. But again, Joseph needed to have the same vision from God. He needed to have a dream from God. And maybe this is going out on a limb, but many get married and they have no idea the dreams and visions God has for their spouse. They have no idea what dreams and visions God has for them. When Natalie and I took premarital counseling, our counselor talked about the cliche of giving each other our hearts, right? So we had this fuzzy teddy bear. And I've shared this with some that we had this fuzzy teddy bear, and I had one, and she had one, and it had a big heart on it. And they shared in it, and she shared, "Okay, now what do you do with your heart?" And we went to exchange teddy bears. And she said, No. You're in charge of your own heart. Meaning, Natalie can't make you feel this way. You know, when you do this, you make me feel like this. And when you do that, you make me feel like this. We're in charge of our own hearts. So we don't give our heart to somebody. It's not, and also I think our culture really pictures when relationships come together, it's this half broken heart and then this other half broken heart. And look, isn't this sweet? It makes a whole heart. No. That's not the way God intended it. We are broken people, and I understand that. But God intended for you to have a full heart and your spouse to have a full heart, and then those two hearts to come together. So meaning that I'm responsible for my own emotions, I'm responsible for my own heart, I'm responsible for my own actions, and rather than blaming my spouse when we're in the midst of conflict, I need to take responsibility for my own heart, and I need to be a whole person, and I need to seek the dream and the vision that God has for me. My spouse needs to seek the dream and vision that God has for her, and then we need to go forward. It is not like in our culture, the way it paints, like, "Oh, I'm only half without another person." No, Jesus wants you to be whole. He wants you to be whole. Again, is God ordained marriage there? Yes. Did God have a plan for Mary and Joseph to get together? Yes. But God wasn't putting two people that had no clue about their lives and where they were going, what they were doing. God spoke to each and gave them a vision for their life. And guess what? Those visions came together. And those visions got intertwined. And those visions, God had a plan that they would be better together. That's what's awesome about marriage, is that we are better together, right? That, again, God sought for two people who are on fire for Jesus, that want to accomplish God's dreams and his visions for our life. But he knows that when he brings, he says it's good for a man not to be alone. Because he wanted us to be together to fulfill each mission that God has for us as we're doing it as a team. As a team. And so it's meant to be a team. You know, when Natalie and I took premarital counseling, like I said, it was this aspect of sharing. But sharing a little bit more about Natalie and I's story, I love that, you know, some people call it Central Bible College, Central Bridal College. Like women were just going there to find Christian men. That was not my wife. In fact, she graduated and was planning on graduating. And she had that was not in her scope. She didn't go to Bible school looking for a man. She went to Bible school because God called her to preach the gospel. God called her, and God had a mission and specific mission for her to accomplish. And, you know, a lot of people are getting married older these days. I was 27, Natalie was 25. And I think about that, and God gave me my singleness. My singleness was a gift. I don't think that I could have gone on 5 different mission trips around the world if I was married at the time. I don't think I could have spent 2 months in Panama. I don't think I could have spent 2 months in Romania evangelizing and sharing with the lost. I don't think I could have spent 2 months in Africa or a month in New Zealand or Australia and taking teenagers and sharing the gospel through drama and through song and through skits. I wouldn't have been able to do that if I was married, or it would have been harder, okay? And so God used my singleness to accomplish for his kingdom. God used Natalie's singleness, but then there was a time for us to come together. And we are better together. Right now our kids are not feeling well, so right now we can't be physically right here better together. But we're still on the same mission. We're still on the same plan. And so, again, I think that many young people, rather than seeking Jesus with all their heart and staying pure, run after a girl or boy, hoping that they will fill the God-shaped hole in their heart. Joseph needed a vision and a dream for his life, and so did Mary. See, I think Joseph needed the dream that we're about to go into more than just the same as Mary did. Because, you know, there are, and you've heard pastors talk about this, but in life, sometimes the woman ends up being the spiritual leader in the home. They're the one with the vision. They're the one loving Jesus. They're the one that's on fire for God. And then the man's just kind of like, that's great. If you want to pray, say grace. The man should be the spiritual head of the home. The man should be on fire for Jesus. The man should have a vision and a dream and be pursuing that vision and pursuing that dream. And then it's not get behind me. This is not Satan. Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, wife, okay? This is I'm linking arms with you, and I'm going to fulfill the mission that God's called us both to. Because I've taken time to pray and to seek the Lord and to get a vision for my life. And I know you have taken the time to get a vision for your life. If you're ever dating, you know what a great question is? Have you sought God's vision for your life?
Oh, back up. Are you getting all spiritual on me?
Yeah, see you later. I'll wait for the next guy. You know, if they're mocking your spirituality when you're dating, guess what they're going to be doing when you're married, right? And so, again, singleness is a gift, and time to find the vision for your life is a gift. But guess what? Even in the midst of your marriage, say, I never felt like I had a vision for my life. Seek it now. Ask for it now. Seek God's plans for you now. And ask God to tell and speak to your spouse. When I ask God things, and I ask God, God, speak to me in this area and that area, you know what my partner prayer is? Speak to Natalie's heart. I know she moves in the prophetic. I know she knows and hears the voice of God. And I pray that you would confirm it with Natalie. I pray that you would speak to her heart. I pray that, and again, it's powerful because God answers those prayers. Sometimes I don't even pray that. And Natalie's like, hey, I got a word from God. It's like, awesome. Didn't pray that. That's awesome. So what is it, you know? And it's just amazing what God can do in a couple that has given their hearts to Jesus, that love the Lord and are going forward, right? When we're talking about marriage, some of us also think that in time you'll convince your spouse what's really important in life. I know that they don't really love Jesus now, but, you know, in a good 5 years, they're really going to. You know, some good advice that you can share with others is, you know, missionary dating can work, but I don't advise it, okay? Missionary dating, meaning they don't really on fire for the Lord, but through your dating process, you're going to lead them to Jesus. Please be very careful with that. There's been some crashing and burning in a lot of those cases. And rather than that one person thinking that they're going to bring them to the Lord as they love them, they pull that other person down. The Bible calls that, don't be unequally yoked, right? And so, again, it's important. And again, it's important in our decisions. And Joseph is getting ready to make a big decision, right? And now he thinks that his wife has done this terrible deed, that she has betrayed him, and there's all this rift, blah, 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 that he's thinking that's taken place. And so in the midst of this, he has a dream. And it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. Again, we talked about this, but it's this aspect that he doesn't want to embarrass her, but he doesn't want her to die either. He doesn't want her to be stoned. He wants to put her away quietly, like, and end this marriage that was going to take place. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. I think I might have gone past that. I apologize. But behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. Think about that again. When Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Called his name Jesus. So what can we take from this? Other than them both having the same vision and both having the same dream and being on board and both seeking the Lord. The angel of the Lord appears to Joseph in a dream with a revelation that overturns his strategy by casting an entire new light on Mary's pregnancy. You know, a lot of times when we make a plan, we want to stick to that plan, right? I made a plan and now I'm going to stick to it. You know, we got to be open. That sometimes when we're going in a direction and God speaks to us, we need to go, all right, change of plans. This is not what I was planning on doing. This is not where I was planning on going. But God has spoke to me, and so I'm going to change plans and go in this direction. We can't be so stubborn that when we're in the midst of a plan that we think is good, we can't hear God's plan. Right? Because God might speak a totally different plan, and it's going to line up with his word, and it's going to line up with his character, and it's going to line up with all these things. But God overturns the strategy that Joseph has. And Matthew's deliberate reference, as I mentioned before, to Joseph as son of David, it's the only place in the gospel where this designation is applied to him. The word biblical commentary underlines what Matthew has forcefully asserted through the genealogy. Jesus is the legal son of Joseph, as he shall become through Joseph's obedience, and he is therefore reckoned as the Davidic descent, thus fulfilling biblical prophecy. So the most important part of this dream is that Joseph not only hears from God, he obeys by marrying Mary and naming the boy Jesus. Remember when we're talking about John the Baptist and they're asking him, what's the name? They look to the father to name the child, right? And he says his name shall be John, and then suddenly his mouth is opened again. Remember that? And so, again, it was important that the father gets to name the child. So Mary could be thinking, this boy's name is Jesus. You ever have like a favorite name that you want to name your kid, right? And you're like, and then you talk to your spouse about that. They're like, that's a horrible name. We're not naming them Josephine. That sounds like a boy's name with a fit. No, you know, and so again, like, no criticism. It just came to my head. Just this aspect, right, that where we argue names, we think that's a beautiful name. Like, that's an amazing name. And so it was important here that Mary, right, Mary says his name is Jesus, and Joseph goes, I had that dream too. His name is to be Jesus, which means God saves. God saves. And so Joseph, he takes the initiative and he obeys God, not just in marrying Mary, but naming Jesus, Jesus. Now, another important factor that I think we miss a lot of times when we look at the Christmas story is they will populate the earth, okay? Mary and Joseph will get together and they will have children. And that's James and Jude, and like then there's, he has sisters too, right? And so there's a big family. Mary and Joseph will have a big family. And so we'll get into that a little bit more. But you want your marriage to be blessed? It starts with obedience to God. It starts with getting a God-sized vision and both husband and wife being on board with God's vision for their life. And Joseph in Genesis launched into the mission God had for them by following the dream God gave him. Joseph would launch into marriage on the same page as his fiance, who he would then call his wife. Another awesome factor that showed the integrity and honor both Joseph and Mary had was their self-control. Man, that's almost like a curse word in our society. Self-control. What are you, a prude? Self-control. Get with the times. God's word, right? Again, some of us need an image, right? God's word never changes, right? His character never changes. His promises never change. What he calls us to never changes. And so although it's hard to hear this message for our culture, it's a message that's true. And it's a message that will speak volumes to our hearts if we will live it out. And so we're talking about self-control. And I want you to just think for a moment here that Joseph, he takes Mary to be his wife, right? So he takes her in his home. And Joseph, now she's pretty prego, okay? She's pretty well along. She's been with Elizabeth for a period of time. So she's showing baby, right? We know this. It's not like he was, you know, again, he knew she was with child enough to say, hey, this was my original plan. So again, but he and Mary do not consummate their marriage until after Jesus is born. And what does that tell me? That Mary and Joseph were not only able to stay pure before marriage, but even because they wanted people to know without a shadow of a doubt that this was the Holy Spirit that did this event, this was the Holy Spirit that brought forth this child, we're going to make sure that the whole world knows that that is the place and that is the thing, and so we are going to have some good old-fashioned self-control. And it's so important. It's so important. Joseph had every right from a biblical and moral standpoint to consummate their marriage once they went through with their vows. But they cared more about purity and God's plan that they had self-control until Jesus was born. What was the reason for this? Again, what I shared. So that people would know truly this was the Son of God, born of a virgin. This should be a challenge to all of us in this culture that God calls us to purity and self-control. You're not being a prude by having self-control. You are showing Christ to people by having self-control. It should be a challenge to know the vision of God that he has for you personally, and then a vision that God would have for you and your spouse once you become married. I'm so glad that Natalie waited for me. I'm glad that she pursued the mission God had for her. And please hear my heart. This is not, oh, Pastor John's, you know, he's perfect. No, this is not the case. But I will tell you that me and Natalie had accountability partners. We had friends that would call us while we're on a date and be like, hey, how you doing? What are you guys up to? And some of those calls were just the right time. But we made ourselves accountable. And again, I'm trying to keep this as G-rated as possible, so that's about as far as I'll go there. But we had accountability. You need accountability. And I guess what? You don't just need accountability before you get married. You need accountability with friends that are willing to make you sharper. You need accountability that people are willing to call you out and go, hey, how you treating your spouse? How are you treating them? Are you loving them with the love of the Lord? Are you loving them, men, like Christ loved the church and laid down his life for the church? Are you loving her like that? Because you need to. A girlfriend calls you up and says, hey, are you praying for your spouse, your honey? Your sweetie, whatever. Are you praying for them? Are you speaking words that say, I honor you, I respect you, I value you? And are you, how are you doing with your walk with God? Is it going good? Are you getting in God's word? We need friends like that, whether we're single or married. Amen? That would say, hey, you getting in God's word? Are you praying? Are you seeking God's vision for your life, no matter if you're single or married or wherever you are in life? Are you seeking the mission of God? Because if you still have breath in your lungs, you still have a mission that God has for you. Amen? And we need friends to be able to call us to that and challenge us in that. How are you living your singleness? Because Paul says you should live your whole singleness for Jesus. Whether that happens later in life or earlier, wherever stage you are, live that life, that singleness, giving him honor. Go on a mission trip. Use your gifts and skills for Jesus. Seek him with all your heart. Ask him for vision. Ask him for dreams. You're not going to birth the Son of God, okay? That's already taken care of. So don't worry about that. But God has big plans for you. Are you seeking him on a regular basis? And asking, listen, I will tell you what an awesome story this is. It's from Pastor Mark Batterson. And he had a couple in his church that they prayed for their kids every night. And some people pray for the kids, and some people pray for their kids. And when they were praying for their kids, God put the name of their son's wife in their head. And they journal it. And I'm just going to call her Sue, okay? And so they put down Sue. And they prayed from baby to, I can't remember how old he was. I think he was like 20 or 21 when he started dating Sue. And they never told him that God gave that name to them. But when they got engaged, and the ring was put on the finger, they said, Sue, I just want you to know, I want you to look at my journal. I'm like, that's weird. No, just joking. I was they said, this was kind of our prayer journal that we did together as a couple. Me and we'll call him Bill's dad. And here, your name's right here. God gave us your name, Sue, 20 years ago. But we just want you to know we've already been praying for your marriage. We've already been praying that God would just put you on mission for him and that this marriage would be empowering for his glory. How awesome is that? How awesome is that, that the Lord gave them the very name? And you know what's also awesome? They had the confidentiality to keep that name under wraps, even when he started, you know, I wonder if the mom was ever tempted, hey, I heard that girl's name was Sue. Have you thought about dating her? You know, like, oh, that Susie girl, she looks pretty sweet. You know, like, they kept it a secret even to their son, but they treasured it in their heart and they prayed it out. Are you praying for your kids like that? Are you praying for your grandkids like that? Are you praying for them where God, you're so interceding for them that God could drop something prophetic into your heart? You know, when Natalie saw me, now I was not breathtaking, okay? I am who I am, all right? But it's like Popeye, I am that I don't know. I don't know what I'm thinking. Somebody will tell me later that knows Popeye better than I do, but I'm just who I am. But when Natalie first saw me, the Holy Spirit said, you're going to marry them, that guy. And she was like, oh, no, just joking. And so, God told her. You know what's awesome about Natalie, though? Natalie did not tell me that until after we were engaged. She didn't act like it. She didn't have like starry eyes where she just thought I was perfect, right? Like, he's just so amazing. No, she's like, oh man, sometimes he annoys me. Can I deal with that for the rest of my life? That's the kind of dating that needs to take place, right? It's not just like, hey, oh, you always put your best foot forward. I'm not saying like burp in front of them, okay? I'm just saying like, you know, like be real too, right? Be real too, because guess what? They're going to see the real you when you get married, right? When you say I do, they're going to see the real you. So again, yes, put your best foot forward aspect. But again, this aspect here that, you know, and you know what's awesome too? Listen, this is just me personally, but friends of mine said, Natalie is an awesome girl. So you should really take a look at Natalie. She's an amazing person and loves Jesus. And so it wasn't just my opinion, I was hearing it from somebody else. So again, I know maybe you're not in this place, maybe that's not you and you're not where you are in life or whatever, but again, be praying that for your kids, that they go into relationships with eyes wide open, that they don't just go, oh, I just thought he's so great, and oh, he'll always be amazing. You know, like, no, give him a couple years. He won't be always amazing. So that's when you love through, right? That's when you are, again, gracious to one another, right? So let's seek God's vision for our lives and dream the dreams that he has for us. I think that's a big takeaway from not only Joseph's dream, but Mary's dream. And this Christmas season, this is a season where you can dream dreams, right? Even our music talks about the Christmas dreams and just the lovey-doveyness of Christmas. In the midst of that, again, ask God for visions and dreams. Ask him for the mission and the purpose that he has for you. Let's seek God's vision and the courage to then step out and follow those dreams. Amen. Step out for it. Have that courage to say, God, I know you're calling me. Listen, when you're like, Pastor's saying in closing, that's a dangerous statement because he might go on. But no, as it is in closing. And that it is this, that Joseph, when he married his wife, he knew there were going to be problems because he knew people would point at them and go, wait a second, she's already with a baby? He knew that there were going to be, they were raising the Son of God. I mean, think about the pressure that was there. Not that God put on them, but self-pressure. Think about Joseph, how, again, all that this would entail. Sometimes doing what's right, it's not easy. In fact, doing what's right can be the hardest thing you ever do. Right? Sometimes you can get super amounts of flack for doing what's right. But if you know that it's right and you know that God called you to it, then don't listen to the naysayers. Listen to the vision and the dreams that God has given you. Go back to his word and believe his word. Amen? Would you bow your heads with me? God, I just thank you for this day. I thank you, God, that this is the day that you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it, God. So, again, I know storms can be rough, and driving can be rough, and all of that in the midst of a storm just coming through. But, God, I just pray that that we would prepare our hearts for Christmas, that we would prepare our hearts for the dreams and visions that that you have for us as single individuals, as married individuals, as children, wherever we are in the span of life, God, I just thank you. I know children are single too, but I just thank you, God, that you are good and that you do drop dreams into our hearts. Thank you for Mary and Joseph. Thank you for their willingness to follow you and to obey you. In Jesus' name we pray.